we go. All right, Parshas Korach. I will tell you, I have a crazy board over here that I added on a little bit to, but it's based on Rav Wolfson. It is unreal how this ends up working. It goes like the following. We know, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi v'dasam v'avirim ben Eilu avdom ben Pelos ben Ruvain, that Korach took something. He took something, and he went up to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he seemed to have a tiny. Now, here's the deal. Korach went up to Moshe Rabbeinu and said two different things, two different big tainas. Taina number one was tzitzis. He went up to him and he said, tzitzis is supposed to have a tchelis strength. Said Korach, if I have a tzitzis that's full of tchelis, that should be even better. So why shouldn't I have a tzitzis that is entirely made of tchelis? That's the first question that he had. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, you got to have the strings, you can't just have tchelis, you got to have the strings as they are. That's number one. Number two, he said, if I have a room full of svarim, and I have a mezuzah up on the door, what's the point of that mezuzah? If it's a room full of svarim, I shouldn't have a chiyuv of a mezuzah. Because if I have svarim there, that should be good enough. That should be a protection in and of itself. That is two of the most dumbest tainas I've ever heard before in my life. Because clearly you have a chiyuv no matter what. I mean, well, what does that mean? You have tzitzis. You have strings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to put one thing of tchelis on the strings. How are you supposed... Do we really understand how strings work? And you're asking, like, no, let's just have tchelis. I mean, I don't even understand how it works. You have to understand how it works and then try to ask it. That's number one. Number two, a mezuzah. A mezuzah is a totally different issue of than svarim. I don't care how many sipurei Torah you have in your house. It doesn't make a difference. It's just the strangest concept. Aside from the fact, what were these svarim? He had svarim all over. Like he had a Rashba and a Ramban and he had a Ketos. Like all over the place. Like what kind of svarim did he have? 1,000%. And that, right there, is a shir. Because obviously, there's something behind Korach. Korach is a great man, a tremendous tzaddik, who obviously has something to do over here. Now, the message comes from tzitzis. Tzitzis comes from last week's parsha. At the very end, it's Yomar Shem Moshe Lemar, Dabro ben Esau v'Maklam Mesulam Tzitzis. At the very end of last week's parsha, it goes into tzitzis, and then Vayikach Korach. So the drasha is, what did Korach take? Last week's parsha. He took the tzitzis from last week's parsha, and he used it. He brought it in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, here's these tzitzis, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do over here? So that's one thing. That's when it comes to the tzitzis itself. But a mezuzah, something's wrong with this concept of a mezuzah. What's going on with the mezuzah? What is going on here that it has nothing to do with the parshas? What did he take and what was going on? So we know the following. Mezuzah is a chovas ador. Wherever a person lives, you've got to have a mezuzah. So for example, technically, there is no chiyuv of a mezuzah in a shul. If nobody lives there, there's no real reason to put up mezuzahs in the shul. I remember people complaining to me for the first couple months of, you know, when Yeshurun was up, there were no mezuzahs on the wall. People were going crazy. Oh, there's no mezuzah. What are we going to do? There's no mezuzah. Technically, there's no chiv of a mezuzah on a shul. We put it up because, obviously, it looks bad. If there's no mezuzah up there, we get so used to having mezuzahs. But it's a chovas ador. It's when you live inside there. But here's the pshat behind it. And technically, by the way, that means that Korach was correct. You have a room full of svarim. You have a shul. You don't need a mezuzah. That makes sense, right? I'm sorry? A garage also, technically not chayiv, but since it might be part of the house and whatever it is, then it might be a little bit different. Right here, all these places, none of them are technically chayiv.
Most of our rooms in our apartment don't actually...
No, but as long as it's in a house that has a room inside it where people sleep, then the whole house is chayiv. That includes the chutzur, and that includes the other areas of the house. That's one thing.
No, but even those areas, most of them aren't like really Joe Rice. They're all like...
Oh, there might be places that are only... Yeah, 100%. 100%. But here's the real question. The question is, a mezuzah is on the right side. Mezuzah is on the right side when you walk in. And when you walk out, it's on the left side. We all know that, right? Just push it. Why is it on the right side when you walk in, the left side when you walk out? Why not the opposite? Why not on the right side when I walk out, and the left side when I walk in? And I know that if it would be that way, I would ask the exact same question. So it's sort of a silly question to start off with. But regardless, let's try to figure out what the shot behind the mezuzah is. I'm sorry?
Because of the hinges.
Because of the hinges. That can't be it, because the mezuzah is on the menorah is on the other side. First of all, it's discriminatory to lefties, and I take offense at that. But there's something wrong over here, so what is it? So, third thing. You know, on the outside of every mezuzah, you have that name, Shakai. Shin Dalad Yud. Okay, so what is that Shakai? So here's the deal. Shaddai, that name of Hashem, stands for Shomer Dalsos Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. He is watching over the doorways. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing. He's watching over everything. I don't know if this originated with the blood that was on the doorpost when they left Mitzrayim. I have no idea if that's where it originated from, but it definitely is based on that. And Shomer Dalsos Hashem is that idea of Shin Dalad Yud.
Hashem Yisrael.
Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Shomer Dalsos, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. He is the Shomer Dalsos who is the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. By Cain, Hashem told him, La-Pesach Chatas Roveitz. When Cain had originally, before he had sinned, Cain was upset that Hevel's korban was accepted. His face fell, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, La-Pesach Chatas Roveitz. By the doorway, there's sin lying in wait. Be very careful. Be very careful, Cain. Because as soon as you walk out the door, immediately the Yetzirah, the Satan, can grab a hold of you. The Malach HaMavis can do something to you and make you do something terrible. Because when you walk outside, there's sakanas all around you. There's sakanas everywhere, wherever you go. There's Arias, there's Sheker, there's Geneva, there's Taiva, there's Avodah Zarah. There's all the things that you can think of. Everything that you have is all out there. Every single thing is there. And in the inside of the house can also be dangerous, but not in the same way. It's not very easy to trip on these types of things when you're inside the house. But even inside the house, you know what you can have? There's a certain amount of gaiva that comes in. Kochi betzem yadi asasachai was that. I did this. It's my house, my table, my kitchen, my food, not God's. God has nothing to do with this. It's my guy that says, I'm the one that did this. I've made my house, and I bought everything inside here with my own money that I worked really hard for, and that's that. So when you leave the house, you have all the problems of the street. When you go inside the house, you have the problems of gaiva, of what you have. Okay. Well, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we leave the house, when we put our hand in the mezuzah, kissing the mezuzah is also brought down, but the ikur is to put your hand on top of the mezuzah. You put your hand in the mezuzah and you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect me to not see evil, to not have to deal with evil, to not be around anything that's evil, and protect me from everything so I'm not affected adversely by the outside world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do everything for me so the outside world doesn't do anything to me that I know it has that possibility of doing. And when we come in, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect me from that Yetzer Hara. Protect me from my own gaiva. Make me realize that everything I have and everything I do is all because of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not because of me, but it's because you allow me to be able to do such a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please. And that's when I walk inside, I put my hand in the door and I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me think that it's not me. It's all you. It's all you that do it for me. He's for sure. With what?
With kissing the mezuzah when you go into the house, according to one man, the Amar, the mezuzah is supposed to be like this, and the other one says it's supposed to be
straight
like
up.
This. So when you tilt it, it's a compromise, so that when you go into the house, your gaiva should be set aside when you see your wife, and you're kissing it, but you should kind of...
Why'd you say we tilt
it? There's a different reason behind it. It is also dealing with the machlokas. But let me clear this on. Rav Shor has an awesome, awesome vort. When he goes in, the satan is on the left. Small sin mem aleph lamed is like the sin is interchangeable with the samach. That is samkel. The name of the malach hamavis, the name of the yitzhar of the satan, is samech mem aleph lamed. It's the poison of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the left side stands for the satan. The right is always for kedusha. That's why you always use your right hand for kedusha. Your left hand is tumah, and your right hand is kedusha. But the sin and the samach are interchangeable, and that's the reason why. So therefore it goes that way. It goes samkel versus the right side, which is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now listen how it goes. There's sur meirah v'aseh tov. There's two issues. There's turning away from evil and making sure you don't do anything bad. And then there's aseh tov, making sure you do good. What's sur meirah? It's looking there and saying to myself, I don't want to do anything bad. On my left side, I say to myself, I don't want to have anything to do with the evil of this world. But my right side is all saying, I want to do the best things that's possible. When I leave the house, what do I want to protect myself from? From the evils of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let me see evil. Don't let me get involved in Taiva and Geneva and Avodah Zarah and everything else that's out there. I don't want to deal with that. Sur Meira, turn me away from evil. So what side is that? It's the side of the left. Turn me away from the satan. I put my hand on the left side of the door where the mezuzah is. And I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. I don't want to be affected adversely by everything that's out there. But when I come in, all it is Aseh Tov. I have to do good. I want to go inside and I want to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing this for the right reason. I want to think Kedusha thoughts. I want to think that it's not me. It's not me. It's you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's giving me everything. So I put my right hand on the door. I think Kadosh thoughts. And that's the Sur Meira when I leave, the Aseh Tov when I walk in. We're small buzzers.
Where did that come from, though? The right and left, the small being the Satan
and the... Well, simply put by the names. But the original thought of left and right is brought out by the Torah. Everything is done with the right thumb. The right thumb toe, the right thumb finger, and the right earlobe is where they put the blood in the Beis HaMikdash by the Kohen. That's where they put it on, and it's specifically because of the Tzad HaKedusha.
That's the line of thinking, then, if Samkel stands for the something, and Yamin must stand for something.
Yamin probably does stand for something, but I've never seen a reason why. I'm sure there is something, but that doesn't seem to be so.
Oh, but you have to go in your house before you leave it. You know,
100%.
The house not built
100%, 100%. That's 100% true. So it's Ase Tovin Sur Meira. You're 100% right. But you don't think of it that way, because when a person is sitting there, you always think of myself leaving the house first and then going back into my house. That's the way I think of it, even though obviously I have to go into my house first. That's just the way that a person thinks of these things. Rav Shmuel Vosner, he's a Rosh Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, said, ask the following Shaila. It's an awesome Shaila. If you think about it, it's such pashut. How does a mezuzah not protect you from any makla, any sickness that's out there in this world? How do Jewish people have cancer? Why wouldn't the mezuzah protect us from having that cancer enter into our homes? How could it be that a kid gets sick, that you have any sickness by anything, by any person, by anything that's there? It's a shmira. And if you have that mezuzah, there's no way for that shmira to affect us. There's no way for that mazikin, for those mazikin to affect us. Because I walk into my house, everything's perfectly fine. Says Rav Vosner, that's only if you keep what's outside, outside. And what's inside, inside. But if you take from the world outside and you bring it in, you take that tumah and you bring it inside your house, then with it comes those mazikin. Comes those shadim, if you want to call it. The problems in those makhlos kashos that come out there.
People have had children with that.
100%, 100%. But what it means is there's a koach of the mezuzah that can get canceled out. How? I have absolutely no idea. And nobody has that idea. Nobody has any idea. But there's a koach that's there. The mezuzah is there. The mezuzah is a protecting force that's standing there. But if a person doesn't treat it as properly as it possibly could, then something not kadosh can come inside and affect you.
Think about it. Like,
no.
If whatever, the whole
a shmira that's all encompassing, unless you mess it up.
Need the mezuzah if I was able to do that.
Absolutely not. You would need the mezuzah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actual protection, that when you go inside, you think the kadosh thoughts instead of bringing the ra in. There's a sur meira and ase tov. The sur meira is the point is on the outside. You don't think of a sur meira on your inside. If you bring the ra in, then not only are you not getting the effect of the mezuzah of the ase tov of thinking the right way when you're inside the house, you're also bringing in a ra, which is even more so. That's the problem. That's what we're saying with the mezuzah. Now we can understand Korach's taina. Korach's taina works out beautifully right now. Ki kola eila kulam kola eida kulam kedoshim, said Korach. The entire eida is all holy people. It's a dor dea, said Korach. There's nothing wrong with these people. What we have to worry about going outside, what do we have to worry about? If we go outside, nothing bad is going to happen. We're going to sit here. We have the mun, we have the be'er, we have the nani akavod. Said Korach, we're full of kedusha. I don't need protection when I go outside. I don't have any issues when I go and I walk and I walk inside my house. I don't have any gaiva. I don't have any problems with taiva, with avodah zarah, with any of these issues, said Korach. I don't have an issue. I am a bias moe svarim. I myself, my brain is a bias moe svarim. I have all the issues I could possibly get. I don't need anything else. If our heads are full of Torah and Kedusha, then what do I need help for? He said, I don't need a mezuzah. That was his taina. Korach's taina was a beautiful taina for himself, saying the whole point of the mezuzah doesn't apply to me. I don't need this Shomer Delsus Hashem. Similar to what Von Stamek said before. So almost on Korach. Almost on Korach.
The ironic thing was he did have that.
Oh my gosh. He didn't realize. So why was he wrong? So why was he wrong? The pshat is there are 95 psukim in Parshas Korach. At the very end of every parsha, you will see a siman. At the very end of the parsha, you will see a siman, and you'll see that siman, and it tells you something about the parsha. The siman of this week's parsha, Tzadieh, is Daniel. Daniel is also the gematria of Tzadieh. What Daniel? So Rav David Feinstein in the Ark Scroll Svarim all says because God took the judgment into his own hands and punished Korach with his own punishment. That's the reason why. Daniel, my judgment is God's. My judgment is God's. That's his idea. Rav Wolfson says an awesome idea. Daniel was a person who wrote down all the different times that Mashiach could come. If you look through Daniel and you look at it correctly, you can find all these different cases that Mashiach could be here. He could come at this time, he could come at that time. He has all these ketzin, all these different times, and he says, it could be then, it could be then, it could be then. And he goes through all these different things. But in the end, Daniel says, be'itah. If he doesn't come early, there's still a set time that Mashiach will come. And Daniel says, I'm not going to hurry him. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to come, that's when he's going to come. Here was Korach's problem. Korach's problem was, he knew how holy the people were. And he didn't want to wait. The Arizal says, for us at Lavo, Levim are going to be in charge of the base of Mikdash. Not Kohanim. Levim. And everybody asks on the Arizal, where do you get this from? They say it's from the following. Lost at level, we're going to paskin not like Beis Hillel. but like Beis Shammai. What's the shot behind that? Because the idea is, Beis Hillel stands for Chesed, for Rachamim. They're always Makel, not always, but they're usually Makel. Beis Shammai is Midas Adin. And the idea is the Shabbat stuff, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, going through Beis Hillel and what Hillel said to the Ger, and Shammai said to the Ger, Shammai is Midas Adin. If you're not going to do what I say, says Shammai, then get out of here. And he punched him in the face and got him out of the Beis Medrash. Hillel, come in, I'll teach you Torah. Anything that you don't want, you don't do to your friend. Hillel was that smart, that nice person that brought it all in. He's Chesed, while Shammai is Midas Adin. Kohanim are Chesed. Levium are Din. The idea behind it is brought by the base of the Shem Yishmol. The Shem Yishmol says that the Levium sing Shira. They bring us up to Shemayim. We have to deserve to be up in Shemayim, to feel like we're up there. Kohanim bring God down to us. They bring the fire from Shemayim to eat up our korbanos, to consume our korbanos. Kohanim bring God down through Chesed. Levium bring us up to God through Midas Adin. So here's the idea behind it. In a world of chesed, that's our world right now. We don't deserve anything. We shouldn't have anything. We have the something that rules over us. We have a crazy amount of punishments that we should get for the sins that we do, but God has said it's chesed. And he says, listen, you guys still deserve to live. And I'm sorry that I gave you the something in the first place. But lost level, there will be no something. Which means we're going to be living in a world that's pure Midas Adin. Even though now we paskin like Beis Hillel, La'asid Lava, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Even though now we have Kohanim of Chesed, later on we're going to have Levium, and the Levium are going to be in charge. So Korach was right. Korach should have been the Kohen Gadol. Korach should have been the head of the Levium to be in the Beis HaMikdash, because he was the head lady. He was the top of all the Levium. He was right, but he wasn't right for his time. He was right when Mashiach comes. He would have been the Kohen Gadol when Mashiach comes, and that's the idea, and that's what we're going to say. That Kohen, he was right, but the problem was it wasn't time yet for Mashiach to come. But Korach said, let's make it now. Says the Parsha, it's 95 Psukim, Daniel. Korach, look at Daniel. Daniel didn't force anything. He didn't make anything happen. He didn't make Mashiach come. You have to wait for Mashiach. Just wait a little bit and everything will be perfectly fine.
Major order. I mean, Daniel was way...
Understood. But meaning the idea of what Daniel stood for. Meaning what Daniel stood for of being Machashiv Kitzin, but understanding I don't have to force God. That's what it is. Now listen to this line. Everyone knows the famous where Korach is Merames to in Tehillim. Tzadik katomor yifroch. A tzadik will sprout out like a date tree. And the last letters of those words, tzadik katomor yifroch, is Korach. Everyone knows that line. Everybody quotes that down. Tzadik katomor yifroch, whatever it is. Yifroch. What does yifroch mean? He will sprout. La'asid lavo. Because Korach will be the Kohen Gadol. But he hurried himself too much. Here's the words. Sanhedrin, Kuf Chesem and Aleph, and again on Kuf Tesem Abayz. There's a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, and then Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir. Rabbi Akiva says, Korach has no chelik olam haba. Rabbi Akiva says, Korach has nothing. He's not going to be Ola from Gehenim. He's not going to have a chelik in olam haba. Korach is gone. He'll never come back. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir argue, no, Korach will come back. It's Yifroch. He will be a Kohen Gadol. He will be out there. And where is Tzadik Katamar Yifroch? What's the mizmor that we say that in? Tzadik Katamar Yifroch? Where is that in? Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. It's the Shir that we sing Liyom Shekulo Shabbos. When Mashiach comes, Lasid Lavo, and Mashiach is going to be here, and it's going to be Yom Shekulo Shabbos. On that day, Yifroch. That's when Korach is going to be around, and Korach is going to be the Kohen Gadol, and he'll come back. That's what it's going to be, and that's what the Medrash means. When Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Moshe, you said the word Rav Lachem to the Bnei Levi, Rav Lachem Bnei Levi. Therefore, Rav Lach, you won't go into Eretz Yisrael. And everybody asks, Moshe was right. He said, Rav Lachem Bnei Levi, he was right. Bnei Levi didn't have a good time. Moshe Rabbeinu was correct. So now Moshe doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, because why didn't Levium become Kohanim? Why were they wrong? Why was Korach wrong? Because it's not time yet. Rav Lachem Bnei Levi, you have time, Bnei Levi. Later on, Mashiach will come and everything will be all good. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu go into Eretz Yisrael? Because if you would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, what would have happened?
The
Beis HaMikdash would have been rebuilt, and Mashiach would have come, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Lach. You told Korach it wasn't time for Mashiach yet? I'm telling you it's not time for Mashiach yet. Therefore, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the wording of Rav that Moshe Rabbeinu used to Korach was the exact same wording that was used back to Moshe Rabbeinu to not allow him to go to Eretz Yisrael because of that idea. That was exactly it.
Fine.
You said to Korach, no, it is not time for it. We're not going to daven for Mashiach to come right now. We're not going to ask for anything else. Okay. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I won't accept your tfilos to make Mashiach come right now. It's not a question of wrong. It's more a question of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is. And Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to argue with Boaz Chanan, 515 tfilos, to be able to get himself into Eretz Yisrael and bring about Mashiach right then. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you didn't daven for Korach, you can't daven for yourself. You can't do it for yourself right now. That's the idea behind what he was trying to do, and the idea of it's not time yet. You can't hasten the gula like that. Okay, so that's the idea of what Korach is going to have lost at level if you say Yitzchak. What about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva argued. Rabbi Akiva said Korach does not have a chelek lost at level. Rabbi Akiva said he will not come out from Gehenna. He's never going to come back from Gehenna. So what's Pshat Rabbi Akiva?
We pass like Rabbi Akiva.
I don't know how he can paskin in this. But either way, but we usually go with Rabbi Akiva over Chavero. Right, if he fights his friend. So what does it mean? What does it mean? How can he lose Olam Haba forever? And why would Rabbi Akiva say that? Rabbi Akiva, the person who understood Klal Yisrael, how could he lose his Chassidus day, as the Gemara says? How could it be? So you know what Rabbi Akiva's other name was? There's a Gemara. It's really a Shabbos. Kuf Nun Amid Aleph in Shabbos. Tosfos says Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. He's quoting Rashi. It says Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. The question is, how does Korcha refer to Rabbi Akiva? The answer is, you have a Gemara in Bechoros. It says Tosos. Bechoros Nun Ches Min Aleph says, Ben Azai got up and he said, HaKo'alai Keklipe Ashum. Everybody here is like the shell of a garlic. To me, mamish, they're nobodies. That's what he said. They're mamish like the Keklipe of a shum of a garlic. They're mamish nobodies. Chutz Mina Kireach Hazeh. Except for this balding. And he's pointing at Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was known as Korach. He was known as Baal. What's Pshat? It sounds like, and Tosa says, it sounds like it's insulting him. How can you say Alash and Ganayim, Rabbi Akiva? Tosa says it can't be Rabbi Akiva. There's no way Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha could be Rabbi Akiva. How could it be that we're making fun of Rabbi Akiva? Ben Azai maybe could make fun of Rabbi Akiva as a Talmud Chaver. I don't know, however you understand it. But for us to call him Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, for him to be known that way, that's ridiculous. How can we call Rabbi Akiva that way? Okay. Gemara, Menachos, Chaf Tesam Abeis. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Rabbi Akiva give shir. Moshe Rabbeinu was listening to Rabbi Akiva give shir. What was he giving shir on? On the ksarim shel osios. On the crowns on top of the letters. You know what those crowns are called? They're little, the three, if you look in the Torah, you'll see on certain types of letters, shatnaz gates. On those letters, you'll see little crowns, little strings coming up on the top. They're called syros. They're called hairs. There's a remez to those hairs on our tefillin, those little hairs that stick out from your tefillin shorosh, those little hairs that are on top of there. He was darshening those syros. And he was darshening divrei Torah out of those little syros, out of those little hairs that are on top of those letters in the Torah. He was darshening that. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the shir. He didn't get it. He's looking at it, he's like, I just don't get it. I don't understand. He was mamish the dakus of the Torah. The thing is getting up to such a level that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. Rabbi Akiva understood it. But even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand this dakus of the Torah. And Toshash Koko, the Gemara says. Moshe Rabbeinu got weak. He got weak. He said, oy vey, there's so much Torah that I don't know. And so Rabbi Akiva said, and all this is known because it's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. And as soon as he said that, Alakul Moshe Misinai, Moshe Rabbeinu felt better. And he said, oh, it's all totally on me.
How's that possible?
It's all totally on me.
Moshe didn't know it. How did he know it?
Oh, that's such a lie. Rabbi Akiva's baldness, his baldness, was because the kohos of the syros that he was darshaning took away the syros of his head. I don't know if this is by all people that are bald, that they're learning so much Torah that they lose the hair on top of their head. But by certain people, there's this koach. And Korach had it. And Rabbi Akiva had it. To learn so much and so well to darshan the Cyrus of the Torah, the Dakus of the Torah. And I don't understand why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have it. There's a Marsha, there's a Maharal, there's a Ben Yoyada on why Rabbi Akiva was greater, so to speak, than Moshe Rabbeinu, and what that meant and how it goes, and that's the whole reason of Halacha Moshe Misinai and how that goes. But regardless, his Cyrus, his darshaning the Cyrus, took away his own hairs. And Rabbi Akiva became bald. Bald. And when they're saying Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, and when he said, Chutz Mina Kireach Hazeh, it wasn't an insult, it was a compliment. He was a person who tore his hairs out for learning Torah. He was a person who learned so hard and so long, he lost his ability to have hairs on top of his head. It wasn't an insult. His kokos were in that. So here we go. Korach was named for the exact same reason. The original Korach. The exact same reason. He was Masig Asagos in Torah. He got certain Chidushim in Torah that even most Rabbeinu didn't get. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it. And when Korach's wife saw that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Levim and told them all to shave their heads, shave your heads, shave all the hairs of your body, Korach's wife said, you know why he's doing this? Because he doesn't want people to think that he's great, that you're greater than him. Because Korach, bald, was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he tore his hair out in order to learn Torah. And now with all the Levim are bald, then what does that mean? You can't tell that one person's greater than the other. Moshe's bald, Korach's bald, because all the Levim were. Every single Levi was bald. So you can't tell that one person was more than the other. And Korach's wife said to him, they all shaved their heads. Not only shaved their heads, shaved all the hairs of their body in order to get this Kedusha. And we don't know if it stayed that way. It might have only been that one time. But Korach's wife looked at him and said, he's jealous. Moshe Rabbeinu is jealous of you because you know more Torah than he does. Because you're getting the Cyrus of the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get those Cyrus of the Torah. And now they're not going to see your greatness. And that's why Korach got upset. And the Yalku Ruveni says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to Korach and said, I made you Kedugma Shel Milo. I made you to the greatest level you could possibly get to. And you're complaining because that's the Iker. To Darshan, the way Korach did was the Iker. Not to brag about it. Korach's downfall, because he wasn't like Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva was able to admit, Halakha Moshe Misinai. Halakha Moshe Misinai, at the end of the day, when I have something, I still say it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is much, much greater than me, said Rebbe Akiva. Korach's downfall was his inability to attribute anything back to Moshe Rabbeinu. I could figure it out better than he can. I can understand this a little bit better. And Korach didn't see it. Maybe even didn't believe it. And that's why Rebbe Akiva's Torah is a Torah that lasted throughout all our generations. And everybody's Torah is Rebbe Akiva's Torah. Because his Talmidim were the only ones that survived. Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai and Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Nechamia and Rebbe Elazar. They were the only ones that survived. The others all died. Because Rebbe Akiva was able to say, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Thus, when Rebbe Akiva saw Korach, what he did, and how he messed it up, he was able to say, Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. He messed it up so badly. Such a person who had such gaiva cannot have a chelik in Olam Haba. Because Rebbe Akiva knew it better than anyone else. I know where I am. Such a person will never rise up from Sheol. He'll never get up from Ganem. There's no way. But there was nobody like Korach. Nobody like Korach. The only person who was roy to be Kohen Gadol aside from Levi in this machlokas. Either he will be a Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Rebbe Akiva, he's lost forever because of his inability to find what was right about Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's end off with switching gears completely. I'll end off with a vort. It's not an unbelievable vort, but you're going to have to do a little bit of math. So if you have your little calculators, you can bring them out right now. Mariel Diskin says the following. At the very end, Yud Zayin Vav, Korach's men are all killed. 250 men, Korach, Dathan, and Aviram are all killed. There was family involved. I don't know how many sons of Korach were killed, how many wives, how many children of Dathan and Aviram. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. The pasuk doesn't say it. But 253 men were killed. And after that, the people complained by Yilonu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael. They all complained. They said, Atem Amitem Esam Hashem, you're killing the people of God. It said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you killed all these people. These were great men that just died, the 253 men. You killed all these great men. How could you do such a thing? And the covet of Hashem appeared at the Almighty, Vayar Kvod Hashem. And all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm ready to kill him. Pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Hey, Romu Mitocha Irazos, separate yourselves from this congregation, Vachalosam Kiroga, and I will destroy them in an instant. Vayipalopanem, Moshe and Aaron fall down on their faces. And Moshe said to Aaron, grab a pan, put ketores in the pan in a fire, go out to the people, burn incense, and the plague will stop. And the plague consumed at the very end 14,700 people, milvad ha-mesim al-dvar Korach, aside from those who died al-dvar Korach. 14,700, aside from the 253 people that were also there. Okay, get these numbers down. 14,253. Here's the three questions. Number one. And the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Bnei Yisrael, he said the words, it was in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Chof Aleph, he said, He badalu mitocha Eda. Separate from this Eda, He badalu. Here he says the word, He romu. What's the difference between He badalu and He romu? That's question number one. Okay, question number one. Number two, second question is over here it says, He romu mitocha Eda. And then it says, V'holich Meir Ela Eda. And then it says, Aaron took the pan, V'yaret El Toch HaKahol. And he ran to the congregation. Why does it switch from the word Eda to the word Kahol? What's the difference from the word Eda to the word Kahol? That's question number two. Question number three. Why do you have to say 14,700 died in the plague aside from the 253 people that died because of Korach? We know that they died already because of Korach. That's what they were complaining about. So why does the pasuk have to add on those 253 people that we're talking about over here? Here's the idea. At first, there was a gzerah to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. That was Yibadlu Mitocha, Eidav Achalosam Kiroga. I want to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. That was the original gzerah. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and they weren't killed. The only people that were killed were Korach, Dothan, Aviram, and the 250 men that were willing to sacrifice. But nobody else was killed. Now, when they complained, that whole gzerah came back, but it wasn't the same gzerah. Because the people weren't as evil as they were before, questioning the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, or questioning what God had to do, why people were being set up this way. That wasn't what they were doing. What were they doing? They were complaining. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you're complaining? I'm not going to take off the full amount. I'm going to take off a truma of Klal Yisrael. A truma. How much did you take off for truma? Oh, how much? A 60th, a 50th, or a 40th. Now here, Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry. There was a ketzer from Hashem. So you take off 1/40th. An ayin yofeh when it comes to taking off of Klal Yisrael. So let's do the math. 603,550 people in Klal Yisrael, men in Klal Yisrael. 603,550. 1/40th of 603,550 is 15,088 3/4. 15,088 3/4. Now here we go. Ready for this math? 3/4, you don't count. Because 3/4 of a person cannot die. So you take off the 3/4. You have 15,088. It still won't be a death. So 15,088. Okay? Now, how many people died in the plague? 14,700. 253 people died with Korach. 14,953. Ready? 15,088 minus 14,953. 135. Did you look or you guessed that? Oh, there you go. 135. 135 is the gematria of Kahol. Kuf Hey Lamed. What's Pshat? The Pshat is, says at Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to destroy the whole nation. It's not He Badalu, it's He Romu. I'm taking a truma off from the nation. And if I'm taking a truma off, that means that 15,088 people are going to have to die. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He said to Aaron, quick, grab the Ketoret. We'll be able to save somebody. Go out with the Ketoret and save somebody with it. So he ran El Tocha Kahol to the last 135 people that were left that were not killed in this plague. 14,953 people were already dead. And Aaron ran with the pan of the Ketoret straight to the middle of the Kahol to save the last 135 people. And that's what he succeeded in doing. He was able to save that last Kahol. That's what he was able to do. In summary, the mezuzah's purpose is to be shomeros. To be shomeros from sur meira when I go outside and ase tov when I go inside. And that was the kind of Korach. Korach's plan was to make Mashiach come now. And if Mashiach comes now, that means that Korach was going to be the Kohen Gadol. That was his entire plan, what he wanted to do. Rabbi Kiva says he has no chelek in Olam Haba because they were very, very similar. And Rabbi Kiva knew there was one big difference between him and Korach, and the reason why he survived Rabbi Kiva and Korach did not. Hey, Romu killed 14,953, and thus Kahol was saved. That Kuf Hey Lamed was saved. Right with that, guys, have a good Shabbos. We'll stop there.